I'd like to welcome everyone to the Mesa City Council meeting for Monday, May 18th, 2009. My name is Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor and privilege for me to be conducting this meeting. We'll begin our meeting tonight with an invocation by Pastor Gregory Dansby from the Holy Temple Church of God in Christ. And after Pastor Dansby is finished, we'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Scout Cooper Tingey from Troop 351. Would you please rise for both the invocation and the pledge? Pastor Dansby.
Our Father and our God, we thank you today for all things. We thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you, God, for sustaining us even in this difficult time. God, we ask you now as we invoke your presence in this place that you will lead and guide our mayor on today, that you will lead him in the decisions that are to be made. And God, we ask you, God, to touch and lead our councilmen and women as they also make decisions that will affect the lives of the people in this community. God, let your presence be in this place. Be in everything that's said and done. Lead us and we shall follow you. God, we just thank you and praise you for this time that we have, and we want you to be in this place today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We will now say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Pastor Dansby and Cooper. Thank you. The first item on our agenda is to take action on all consent agenda items. Consent agenda will be read in by Kevin Christopher. Kevin.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or a citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 5A, act on liquor license for Fat Willie's Family Sports Grill, 1762 South Greenfield Road. Item 6A, act on contract to purchase two replacement heavy-duty chassis vehicles with roll-off container system for Solid Waste Management Department. Item 6B, act on contract to purchase a portable digital imaging system for the Mesa Police Department's bomb team. It's fully funded from a federal Homeland Security grant, $27,053.56. Item 6C, act on contract to purchase replacement digital microwave tower equipment for the Communications Department, $36,339.07. This purchase is funded with law enforcement construction bonds. Item 6D, act on contract to purchase a replacement inductively coupled plasma optical emission spectrometer. Item 6E, act on term contract for slurry seal sand for Transportation Department, $455,861.66. This purchase is funded with transportation sales tax. Item 6F, act on term contract for replacement fitness equipment and supplies for Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 6G, act on contract to purchase one Class 8 conventional tractor for Mesa Fire Department, fully funded from Federal Homeland Security grant, $111,991.49. Item 6H, act on contract to purchase gas system and water line replacement. Item 6I, act on contract to purchase access manholes for water mains and T-connection. Item 6J, act on contract for ADA improvements at Dobson Library, funding from the Library Bond Program, $69,334.62. Item 6K, act on contract to purchase an additional chiller for the district cooling plant, funding available in the fiscal year 08-09 district cooling capital project, $1,077,795.40. Item 6L, act on contract for miscellaneous rehabilitation improvements at Northwest Water Reclamation Plant, funding available in the preliminary fiscal year 09-10 wastewater capital bond program, $1,664,456.20. Item 6M, act on contract for Centennial Hall flooring improvements. Item 7A, act on resolution granting a public utility easement on city-owned property in the 4500 block of East Mallory Street. Item 8A, act on ordinance Z09-04, 1017 South 88th Street for a rezone. Item 8B, act on ordinance Z09-05, 7938 East 2nd Avenue for a rezone. Item 8C, act on ordinance Z09-06, 39 North 98th Street for a rezone. Item 9A, act on subdivision plat 6202 East McKellips Road, Tuscany Villas at Painted Mountain. And item 11, adopt a notice of intention to adjust utility rates and establish June 22nd, 2009 as a date for the public hearing. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any council member that would wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda? Ms. Crocker, are there any requests from the public?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. I have a motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second from Councilmember Summers. Is there any discussion? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The consent agenda is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 3A. Conduct a public hearing and take action on the proposed annual assessments for the Mesa Town Center. This is the public hearing. We have two requests to speak during the public hearing. We'll hear first from Mr. John Morehouse. And Mr. Morehouse, if you would please come up and state your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes, sir. And he'll be followed by John Richards.
Mayor, council members, my name is John Morehouse. I live here in Mesa at 2205 North Bell Vista. I got caught off guard here on this. I didn't realize this was on here tonight simply because I wasn't watching. But I've been assessed by this assessment for the bigger part of the time this thing's been in place. And it's continued to grow and grow and grow, and it's really out of hand, I think. So I just thought I'd give you that information. At the height of our actions downtown here in real estate, it was costing me over $5,000 a year in assessments for something I can't see what was happening for that amount of money, let alone the hundreds of thousands of dollars that this organization spends. That's pretty much it. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Morehouse. Yeah. Mr. John Richards.
I'm John Richards. I live at 3256 East Downing Circle in Mesa, and I have a property that is in this assessment zone. I'd like to recommend that we don't increase the assessment in this properties because the economy, when this was voted for, was certainly running much better, and we're talking about increases over a three-year period, and I don't see the value in doing that when the economy may not be increasing at 3% rate increases each year. We may be at actually a declining value in our economy, and so while property values are declining, the economy is declining in general, I think we need to reassess why we'd be increasing our assessments on these properties over the next 3 years. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Any questions or comments by members of the council? Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. I think what our two speakers brought up are pretty fair questions, and I wonder if we have anybody from the Downtown Mesa Association that might be able to address them specifically when you look at, oh, there he is. I'm glad. We're looking at a 3% increase in the DMA's assessment, and I think it's fair to ask the question, what is it that 3% assessment is going to go for, and why is it important to provide that increase to the Downtown Mesa Association? What's the tangible benefit when other departments, the city, for example, has seen a decline in revenue? We've had a decrease in our budget, not just in a percentage of increase, but actual real dollars, the budget has gone down. So why is it important at this point with these downtown businesses hurting to increase assessment?
Tom Verplugen with Downtown Mesa Association, 58 West Main. As we looked at it over the years, our assessment is about exactly what it was 24 years ago. So with inflation and the various things going on over the years, like I said, 24 years, it's the same. What we've done is we've worked with the city in terms of some different contracts, so we've leveraged some things that we're able to do. Last year, the city passed the 3% assessment increase for the 3 years. Last year was the first year, and then this is the second year, and then the next. I think it's mainly just due to inflation and some of the things that have caught up with us over the years to be able to continue to provide services. A lot of the services that we provide, a number of those things are going up more than 3% in a lot of cases, whether it's insurance or contract services, et cetera. So I think our board, when they recommended it to council and council passed it, looked at it as something that was not onerous, but was fair based on the 24-year context, as well as the services that we try to provide.
Is there anything tangible you can point to that would be at risk in the downtown area if this 3% were not to pass today? Would we see a decline in the number of downtown events because we don't have sufficient funds, or DMA doesn't have sufficient funds to do it? Would we see a decline in streetscape?
Well, the city takes care of the streetscape, but in terms of some of the different events, obviously we help facilitate those type of events. So like I said, I think in terms of trying to catch up with inflation overall, we're basically providing the same services or more services than we were 24 years ago. And if you never increase it, then it continues to go down. So I don't think there's a specific service that I can point to other than, like I said, our expenses continue to go up. Our rent, our lease went up more than 3%. It went up 5%. Our insurance goes up. Everything continues to go up. So I think over the years, our 34 board members have managed the budget well and presented it well. So,
Councilmember Kavanaugh.
I think I have a question, probably more from Ms. Spinner. I'm trying to understand why this council is voting on this assessment today, because of reading the backup materials, it appears as if last year the prior council already has voted to set the assessments for a four-year period. Are we acting to rescind what the council did, or what's the nature of what we're being asked to do tonight?
Councilmember Kavanaugh, the statute requires that you assess each property each year. So although last year the council set in place its plan that it would increase rates 3% per year, the council still has to come back and make the assessment every year.
Tom, could you, I'm a little confused. When you say 24 years, what has been the history without 24 years and the rates are virtually the same, or are the same, I guess is what you said, not virtually. Could you expand on that a little bit, because I'm not really understanding. Are you saying that there's been no changes in 24 years at the same rate, or that adjusted for inflation, or what exactly is the deal?
The overall budget, I think the first year in 1986, the assessment district was passed in 85. The assessments actually went into effect in 1986. The amount was, I think, $276,000 plus, if I remember right. And I think for this one, it's about same, $273,000. There was a 10%, because of that, as we went along, there was a 10% increase in 1999. And then as we continue to look at our budget and our expenses going up, the board looked at that, and that's why they recommended 3% last year and then each year. So there's been a 10% increase of the assessment in 1999. And then there was a 3% last year, and the plan was 3% this year and then next year.
Okay, you're saying that the amount collected today is virtually the same as the gross amount collected 24 years ago.
Correct.
All right, and so differences have been made up through what the city has put in or other sources of revenue. But the amount that has been collected from the downtown or the downtown association property owners has remained virtually the same.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? Thank you. Councilmember Summers.
Another one for Ms. Spinner. Debbie, is this something we have to act on today? Is there a requirement we have to act on this in May?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, not that I'm aware of. I guess I would look to Jack, but I don't believe it is.
There may be a timing issue. I'm not sure if Tom would have the answer to that or not.
I don't know the exact timing issue, but I know we need to get it to the city needs to get it to the county assessor in June, and I'm not sure exactly when in June. Ron Lisenby might better know that from the city.
When's our next council meeting?
June 1st.
I guess the reason I ask is I'm a little concerned right now, and Tom, you're kind of caught off guard a little bit. Is I'd like to know really when this was approved by the last council last year, the economy was just starting to go down. There was but it really was fairly stable. We didn't know the extent to which there was going to be economic decline. We didn't know what the impact of that was going to be on businesses, and I think there's some legitimate questions as to, I mean, if you look at this council, we've decided in the downtown area we haven't increased the rates of the utilities for electric. The city itself has had a decrease in service levels. I'm seeing transportation out here. The fire department's had some cuts as well. And overall, we're down in our budget in real dollars. And I'm wondering if an increase at this point, given the condition of the current economy, is the right thing to do. That being said, I am a very large supporter of economic development. I think that you play an important role in economic development. And what I'd like to do is continue this for 2 weeks, if there were support for that on the council, so that we can look at this in a study session and have Mr. Verplugen come back and talk about what the real impact of that 3% increase would be, or not having that 3%, what that negative or impact might be on the organization in downtown Mesa.
Let's do this. Since we're in the public hearing portion of it, let's close out the public hearing and then take up your, you can introduce the motion and take that up as part of 3B. Are there any other requests to speak? Thank you, Tom. There being none, declare the public hearing closed. Now we'll go on to 3B. Take action on the resolution. Would you like to introduce a...
I would like to request that we continue item 3B for 2 weeks and ask the mayor to put this on a study session in the next 2 weeks.
We have a motion from Councilmember Summers to continue item 3B. Do we have a second? We have a second. Oh. We have a motion from Councilmember Summers to continue this. We have a second from Councilmember Higgins. I'm seeing some trepidation over there.
Well, Mayor, there's some questions that I'm very concerned we don't have answers to tonight that could affect whether we can get this information to the county assessor on time. And our next council meeting is June 1st. This hearing date was set back in April 20th for this date. And what I don't know is if we don't make a decision today, how that affects the assessments overall. And can you just, maybe we could just delay this today until we go look at an answer during the meeting?
I just want to
put us in a position where we lose the whole opportunity for the assessment.
Okay,
get it to the assessment.
Are you asking that we maybe take 3B and put it at the end of the meeting while you go find out?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that.
Do you want to do it today?
We'll raise this issue later in the meeting and we'll see if we have the answers in terms of when does this have to be to the county assessor.
So we have that information.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. Let's hold your motion in abeyance for right now. Okay, is that all right? Okay, good. Let's move on to item 4A, public hearing on a minor general plan amendment, GP minor 0901, text amendment to Mesa 2025 general plan. Ms. Crocker, any requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Mayor.
Any comments or questions from council members? There being none, declare the public hearing closed. Item 4B, take action on the following resolution, GP minor 0901, text amendment to the Mesa 2025 general plan, changing the definition of the mixed use employment land use category and amend section 14.2.1, changing the definition of a major general plan amendment. I have a motion to approve from Council Vice Mayor Jones, a second from Council Member Richens. Any discussion? There being none, please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. Item 4B is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 10. Item 10 is take action on the recommendations from Metro for the extension of high-capacity transit in the city of Mesa. Mr. Dan Clevenger, we're going to If you would, please give us an update. I don't think we need to redo what we've had many discussions on or cover that area, but if we could talk about what you've seen since our last meeting of, 6 weeks ago or so, and things you've learned during the community outreach and the various meetings you've had.
Sure, Mayor. I'm going to have Mark Sorensen do that. There are two items on the agenda tonight involving high-capacity transit. The first one, as you mentioned, 10A is going to deal with the recommended alignment of light rail through downtown Mesa, and then 10B is the recommended limits of the extension. So I'd like to invite Mark Sorensen up. Mark is with Metro. He's the corridor planning manager. He'll highlight, as you mentioned, the community outreach efforts and some of the feedback we've gotten, and then give you a brief summary of recommendations from the study.
And before we start the discussion, we need to explain the reason why we have two items is that I have an ownership interest in some property that is east of Mesa Drive, and therefore the recommendation that entails light rail east of Mesa Drive, I have a potential conflict of interest, and therefore will be recusing myself from item 10B. I will be voting on 10A since it does not affect my property, but 10B, I will be recusing myself from that. So before we go, I'll start with that, okay? Mr. Sorensen.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Let me just kind of run through this relatively quickly, and then we can have some discussion if need be. Are they going to turn this? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let me just kind of walk through this and just give you a little bit. We have, over the last few weeks, been spending quite a bit of time on our community outreach. Our community outreach staff has been working with several different groups, and we've been making the rounds, doing several presentations, and this is just a listing of what those presentations have been over the last few weeks. Community feedback that we received to date, there's been a lot of support for extending light rail all the way to Gilbert Road, although that is not what's in the regional transportation plan. The regional transportation plan only goes to Mesa Drive. There has been quite a bit of interest in extending it beyond Mesa Drive all the way to Gilbert Road. Light rail has been viewed in the downtown area as a positive. There's interest in location for park and rides both at Mesa Drive and Gilbert. However, we certainly can get, we'll call it, more park and ride at Gilbert Road, which is one of the reasons why we think it makes sense to go to Gilbert Road. Lessons learned that we've experienced over the first 20-mile project is looking at ways that we can minimize property acquisition, utility coordination, how we can do that a little bit quicker, and how we can work with the contractors to assure that we can minimize construction impacts wherever we're doing construction, and most specifically in the downtown Mesa area. As in 10A, we're looking at, you know, how do we get to Mesa Drive. This map gives you some of the alternatives or the alternatives that we've been looking at from the end of the line station at Sycamore, and what we're evaluating tonight is we'll call it light rail transit from Country Club to Sycamore, and then three alternatives in the downtown area, one being First Street to the north, Main Street in the center, and First Avenue to the south, and then converging back together at Hibbert, and then all the way out to just beyond Mesa Drive where the end of the line station would be. As you mentioned before, Mayor, we've got two recommendations on tonight. Recommendation 10A is to extend light rail all the way to Mesa Drive, and then 10B is a recommendation beyond that. 10A is that we are recommending approval of Main Street as an LRT alternative all the way to Mesa Drive, and then 10B is recommending light rail on Main Street beyond to Gilbert Road. So just to emphasize, 10A is really what we're focusing on tonight, and that's recommending light rail all the way to Main Street as the preferred alignment, as the locally preferred alternative through the downtown area.
Thank you, Mr. Sorensen. We have several requests to speak this evening, and they're mixed up here between supporters and those who are in opposition to this. As I read your name, please come to the front, state your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes, and so we can get through this as quickly as possible. Please, I'll read two names so that the second person is ready to go after the first one's done. So we'll begin with Mr. Stephen Anderson, and Mr. Anderson will be followed by Steve Allen. Mr. Anderson.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Stephen Anderson. I live at 5739 East Fountain. The Mesa Republic on the Weekend Edition characterized the proposal for expanding light rail along Main Street as radically altering the character and appearance of Mesa's downtown, and I think that's a pretty fair statement. The Downtown Focus magazine of the Downtown Mesa Association, their recent issue listed five vision elements, two of which are pedestrian-friendly downtown and unique downtown. The unique downtown was characterized as suggesting outdoor events and entertainment, more street activities, more lively after-hours venues. Pedestrian-friendly, frankly, I don't see how you can have that with light rail right down the center of the main street. A unique downtown, yeah, it would be unique with rail down the center, but I personally don't think that that's going to be in a good way. The character of downtown presently has a hometown feel. It's got a charming kind of Main Street sort of appearance. And granted, it's not as vibrant as people would like, but I think rather than throwing the baby out with the bathwater, you should build on it. There's other alternatives. Instead of wrecking the investment in streetscaping that's already in place and its ability to function already as the Downtown Mesa Association envisions, I ask you to consider an alternative alignment. Either First Street or First Avenue are far better alternatives. First Street and First Avenue both have the grand scale to better accommodate the scale of these trains and the infrastructure and structures to support them. First Avenue in particular is perfect for connections to the Mesa Arts Center, for new development along this light rail line, and particularly the new housing that the Downtown Mesa Association envisions on that side of the downtown area. When I attended a meeting roughly a month ago at EVIT, it appeared to me that there actually was not a lot of interest in further citizen input. It also appeared to me that the decision had largely been made already, and perhaps this hearing tonight is just an exercise. I certainly hope not. I also hope that the decision isn't solely based on funding alone. I think that it would be unfortunate if the decision was based solely on federal monies or state monies available, and instead we were stuck with something that would be with us for generations that really wasn't our first choice. In the short run, I'll leave it to others to talk about its impact on existing businesses, but I think that there'll be an impact for sure. If money is the limiting factor, I think it's far better to bring the light rail line up to Country Club, build a transit center there, park and ride lots, and better consider the extension of transit beyond that point and what the vision is for downtown. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Next year, can we do one thing? We've got a lot of speakers, and I appreciate your passion. But if we could please keep it quiet so we can get through everyone and do it in an orderly fashion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve Allen, and he'll be followed by Albert Bettilieu. Bettilieu? I'm sorry if I butchered your name. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for the opportunity to address you on the light rail. I agree with Mr. Anderson that there are better alternatives than Main Street, that it would not be a good thing to destroy Main Street, in essence, just to put in light rail to serve, you know, the City Arts Center or whatever. I do have to disagree. I think the better choice would be First Street as an alternative rather than First Avenue, because there is more on First Street that can be served currently by the light rail. There may be more potential downstream on First Avenue as far as all the vacant lots that could be built on. But you have a problem also once you get past Mesa Drive on First Avenue, and that is you have to go through the historic Temple District, and the corner you would have to make to go up LeSueur or whatever to Main Street would maybe take out the old genealogical library that's been there for, you know, 7,500 years or something like that. for that reason and others, I would propose an alternative that is First Street, but it's what I call an enhanced First Street. And you can't see it because the cameras are standing in front of it now. But essentially, it's First Street that would start, or the end of the line, I should say, the next temporary end of the line would be at La Suire and Main, the vacant lot that is north of Main and west of La Suire, just west of Pioneer Park and Catty Corner to the Mormon Temple. It was the thing that was recommended by Valley Metro in your study session. The only thing I would disagree with them on that, they recommended that you lease the property or something like that. I would recommend that in this down market you buy the property and lease it to Valley Metro. Anyway, continuing on west from the next end of the line, which would be completed by 2015 or 2016, there at La Suire in Maine, right next to Mesa Drive, you would go up to First Street, and you would go down on the north side of First Street, crossing Maine next to the fire station. You would continue on down to Centennial, and somewhere between Centennial, which is this corner right out here, and Center Street, either in front of the post office, which would be right across the street from us now, or down by the post office where the drop-off boxes used to be, there are opportunities for a light rail station there. This would serve the Centennial Hall, the Convention Center, the library, the Marriott Centennial, all those different things, and it would still be within walking distance to the convention center if they simply use the walkway that's already constructed between this old, the old library and this council chamber and the new city headquarters. And I walk it all the time. I get off either the Link or the 40 in front of the Art Center right now and walk up to the library all the time. I think there are far more people in the city of Mesa that would use the light rail to get to the library, the convention center, and the Marriott Hotel than there are that would necessarily go to the Art Center. If there is a great demand, the Art Center can have its own alternative transportation as well. I know I was limited to 3 minutes, and I didn't know. Let me just say the other part. Once you get to Country Club, rather than following Main Street down to Alma School, the enhanced part of this is that you would have a stop at First Street and Morris next to the police station. That would be your three stops that you currently have recommended on Main Street, one near Mesa Drive, one near Center Street, and one near Country Club. But you would have an additional stop under my plan at Country Club and Broadway just after you've crossed over the existing railroad track overpass. And then you would follow the existing railroad track right-of-way until you get to Alma School, and there would be another stop there at Alma School halfway between Broadway and Main Street. It would continue on and then veer through between the Evett Fire Program and the old Walmart, and then connect up again with the end of the line somewhere around Longmore where Sun Pontiac used to be.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In fairness to others, we need to keep it. So
okay.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Appreciate it. Mr. Albert, and then he'll be followed by Terry McCook.
Don't worry about it. Just don't call me anything for supper. My name is Albert Tenley. I live at 7647 East Inverness. Thank you for letting me speak. My neighbors and I were against the light rail when it first went in because of the 2 years that they butchered up downtown in Phoenix. We think that the better thing and the cheapest thing, more expedient, would be more bus lines. Now, we have five main roads going out from Phoenix. We have Baseline, we have Southern, we have Broadway, we have Main Street, and University. Why can't we just extend a bus line all the way out there instead of tearing up the streets again? That took 2 years down in Phoenix, tearing up the streets. That's what they're going to be doing here, plus all the business that be disadvantaged.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Terry McCook and Richard Tracy will follow Terry. Ms. McCook.
Thank you. My name is Terry McCook. I am a co-owner of the Fiber Factory located at 216 West Main Street. Our business has been in downtown Mesa for 35 years. I have attended every single one of the community outreach meetings regarding the light rail. I have not heard all of these positive comments that Mr. Clevenger mentioned. Mostly I've heard concerns and negative comments, questions that no one has answered. The city of Mesa has repeatedly stated in media and literature that comes to us that the city is suffering from this economic downturn and has very little money. Vital public services have been cut, library hours, police, and fire. Many city employees have lost their jobs or had their hours and their income drastically cut. The light rail is designed to serve only a very, very small percentage of Mesa's population. Libraries, police, fire protection, public recreation serve all of the residents and benefit the businesses that make their home in your community. So it seems to me to be a fiscally irresponsible decision to spend an enormous amount of money, which has never in any meeting been made clear to me where it will come from, the city's part, on something that is of benefit to so few people. Because my business is on Main Street, I see the buses that come down Main Street every 15 minutes or so, and they are predominantly empty. So I don't really see that a light rail is going to generate an enormous amount of ridership. Also, it seems rather hasty to be making a decision about extending the light rail when the data about ridership is so small. The light rail was put into service the end of December. This is the middle of May. We have yet to have it through a summer. There's not even 1 year of data regarding how many people are going to use this train. So I think it's a little bit hasty. So I, you know, respectfully ask that you really consider this decision and the impact and the financial costs that it's going to make on the residences, and not even just on the businesses in the main mile of downtown mile. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate it. Mr. Tracy, and he'll be followed by Debbie Birch.
I'm Richard Tracy, 2238 South Cottonwood Street. I am very positive about light rail. I'm very positive about the opportunity that Mesa has. However, I don't see it going down Main Street. And as I presented evidence last month, you don't have to go down Main Street. You're free to pick the best route for the most passengers. And I'm suggesting that we would go up Dobson Road to where there's a large hospital complex that's been built. More than 40 buildings that are empty near the Fiesta Mall area. And also there's a community college there. Those are riders. Those are people who will use that light rail. Its purpose is to eliminate the cars on the road. A person who's going to send his child to school doesn't have to buy that third car. You might not even need the second car. 25% of the people's incomes going towards vehicles today. We're going into light rail. Light rail could continue into Gilbert in the next phase. But I'm suggesting that right now you vote yes, I want light rail, and no, we don't want it down Main Street at the present time. I unfortunately have to point out to you that this part of Mesa is deserted when the snowbirds go away. You have not got the demand that we could have in the Fiesta Mall area. I'm one of your customers. Your business is not good. I bought a TV in Mesa. You're going to have to depend more on sales tax because cars are not going to be sold like they were. In fact, it's been foolish. I drive a 20-year-old car and I like it. People used to go out and charge every 4 years for another car. I am saying to you, this is the opportunity. I'm also going to point out to you, the citizens of Mesa have voted down this type of improvement. Go look at Bailey's Brake Shop. Do we want another disaster like that? Please think it over. And now, I've been trying to talk to the people involved in Metro. All they give me is the public relations people, because they don't want to lie to me. I asked them, have they ever considered another alternative? However, I will tell you, I'm getting communications from Washington, D.C. Department of Transportation is interested because they have things on the drawing board called rapid rail instead of the streetcars that you see today that are being financed that were stopped by the Dick Cheney movement regarding public transportation. 1994. Provision was provided in the Congress for rapid rail. Only one line was built. Some more are going to be built. If they are, federal funding for a light rail may dry up. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Tracy. Appreciate it. Ms. Burge, and she'll be followed by Mr. John Morehouse.
Yes, my name is Debbie Burge, and I'm actually representing business owners and property owners of downtown Mesa. We have a vested interest in that. I have a daughter who has a business on Main Street, and we own a building on Main Street. So I welcome the opportunity to address you because I have attended, likewise, as many of the other people here, most of the community meetings and have not been able to actually voice an opinion before someone who mattered, someone who was going to vote on this. And I am concerned because the newspapers report that this is pretty much a given thing, that in fact that you didn't even plan to debate the issue, but that the public would be allowed to speak their piece. As a property owner and a business owner, or at least a vested business owner, I think it's important that you think of these people who have invested their life savings in downtown Mesa, who have struggled over a number of years when you've had streets torn up and tried to improve downtown Mesa, and just think about them in that we are confident they will not be able to survive this experience, and you'll need to look them in the face and know that you voted to perpetuate this. I was unhappy to hear that you hadn't bought a car for several years, because that is my husband's business, but I'm not speaking from a car owner's business point of view. I'm really speaking from a property owner's view, and I know that there are many alternatives. I likewise think that it's a little premature to vote on this, since we haven't really had a proven record of Metro. I think they're cool looking. Don't mind that. But I do think that the activities and the different events that have been planned for downtown Mason have been very successful. The old car meetings that we've had in the cruising Main Street, that can happen with a light rail down Main Street. That just won't be a possibility anymore. And that has brought people to Mesa, and it has brought recognition to Mesa. And finally, let's see if I can see what I'm saying. I am just really thrilled that we have the opportunity to voice our opposition in front of you tonight, and I hope that you'll seriously consider it. I think in our economic times, as another speaker said, we have so many services that are being eliminated, are certainly contracted in their ability to serve Mesa people, that this seems like a very limited way in which to spend our hard-earned tax dollars, and I hope you'll consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Birch. I'll hear from Mr. John Morehouse, and he'll be followed by John Richards.
Mayor, council members, appreciate the opportunity. By the way, hi, Dennis. I haven't seen you for a while. I'm going to hit this from the money angle. The cost of this installation, the money it's going to cost the people that are already there, which in 1991, even though I've lived here in town since the mid-50s, I bought my first piece of real estate down here, and it just kept, it kind of got wacko. I'm not as active as I was because I've retired, and but the people that I have sold real estate to, and the ones that I still own and rent to, are very concerned about this coming down the middle of Main Street, mainly because of the construction and tearing it up again. I know how I feel. When they were doing that in Phoenix, I go to Phoenix all the time. If it says construction, I'm not going there, period. That may be just me, but I think there's probably a lot of people in this room that feel the same way. It says construction, I'm not going there. Even though downtown, the bigger part of it has access from the rear of these pieces of real estate for people to do their business from. But my wife went through it on the corner of Robeson and Main when they did the landscape. She got popped twice, Country Club to Robeson, and the next year Robeson the other way. Her gross product went down 60%. Well, that didn't hurt much because she had me to fall back on. I owned the building. She wasn't paying any rent. It was her little hobby deal. We're not there anymore. There are a lot of people still there. This thing comes down Main. It's going to disrupt the whole situation that's in place now. And I've spent a lot of money and a lot of time out of my life trying to bring this downtown back. A lot of it. Day in and day out for months and weeks on end. Take an old piece of, anyway, building and make it into something usable again. The old co-op building being one. I went to the, am I done? How much have I got? I tend to ramble.
Got about a minute left.
Anyway.
You can ramble for a minute.
Okay. I'll be done rambling directly.
Okay.
The old co-op building is a prime example. It was, the city had owned that thing for 15 years. It was a storage room. Go take a run down Pepper and Ropes and look at that corner. The people that purchased that from me, and we built that out for them to use that for what they're using it for now. That's just one of them. And I don't think it will directly impact them because they're not right on Main. But the rest of the stuff that I've done, that I've put the effort in, is on Main Street, including the old Newberry's and the old Woolworth store. And these people need some consideration. Go on First or First. I don't care which one you pick, but down Main isn't the hot setup as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Morehouse. Appreciate it. Mr. John Richards, and he'll be followed by Joetta Brzozowski.
Mr. Mayor and Council, sorry about the second conversation tonight, but I'm both a property owner and a business owner on Main Street. We're at 29 West Main Street, and we refurbished a building that had been empty for 15 to 16 years. So this recent investment, of course, I'm concerned in. I have 5 points I wanted to cover really quickly. I wanted to cover, first off, I am for the rail system going downtown Main Street, probably the only one here tonight that's on Main Street. But I think what's a consistent address that's happening tonight is I went to these meetings at the East Valley Community College, and it is true that the concerns that are being addressed are truly not being answered by the people running these meetings. And so what I'd like to say is I'm for it, but it would still be nice if the concerns of the business owners and property owners downtown Main Street are addressed by the metro system and the city, because the city also had representation there. And afterwards, I said, you know what, you're deflecting questions and you're not answering the questions that are being asked. And I think that's a consensus with most of the people that go to those meetings. The third thing is, I think there's options to running to downtown that may make sense. And of course, some of them are more expensive, but I put them forward, and I don't know that they were taken seriously, but I was wondering, you know, has Subway seriously been considered through the downtown section so we don't destroy our downtown? I realize it's quite a bit more money to do that, but they're just options. One of the other options was doing a single rail through the downtown section instead of doing a double rail system and timing the rail cars so they don't have to take up as much room in the downtown section and maintain the traffic and the parking that the downtown businesses want to keep. And the last one, another option is maybe we close the street to traffic and we have a pedestrian street with a rail system. And I don't know that those things have been discussed, but those options have been put forth, and I don't know that they've been, you get answers like, oh, we talked to the downtown community, they don't want that. Well, I'm part of the downtown community. I'm pretty sure that no one's ever spoke to me about those things, and there's other people, but I don't know that the downtown community really is being addressed and questioned. I think sometimes they get as far as asking the DMA what they think. I'm not sure that's getting to the root of what the property owners and business owners think in the downtown section. And the last thing I just wanted to cover is I think the central concern is the businesses and property owners, are we going to make it through this another construction period after an economy that we're dealing with now in 2 or 3 years? And the question is, does the city have plans to assist the people that are going to shoulder the construction of this light rail system that's going to benefit the whole community, and yet the people in the downtown district or the businesses along Main Street are going to shoulder the burden directly, and yet it's for the benefit of the community. I understand that, but I'm not sure there's any plans in place to see if either through the county or city or state we can get help so that we can survive. And I think that's the real core concern. I think if you boil anybody's argument down, is are we going to survive this? And nobody wants to lose their livelihood over a rail system. So those are my concerns, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Appreciate it. Ms. Joetta Brzozowski and Corinne Brooks.
Hi, my name is Joetta Brzozowski, and I'm at 433 West Main.
I opened my business in 2000 at Robeson in Maine. Johnny Morehouse, of course, was my landlord. And he gave me the opportunity to start my business. And at that time, when I moved downtown, I saw downtown was just coming back from all the construction that was done and the devastation and the businesses closed and the buildings closed. I'm here today because that's my concern now. I was in that location for 5 years. I now own property on the southwest corner of Country Club in Maine. So I am actually west of Country Club, not in downtown. But my question is, what's going to happen to the businesses down there? Downtown Mesa is just coming back with the downtown, the Friday night with the cars, the Saturday farmers market. I see much more activity and things going on in the past 9 years. And I am just here to say I would like to know, and I would really like an answer, as I'm sure some of us other people would, as to I would like to know the percentages of businesses that have closed where the light rail and all the construction has happened. And then I would like to know the percentage of the businesses that have come back. Now, we've asked these questions before, but no one seems to answer us. And I'd like to know, when can we expect an answer? I think the alternative, First Avenue, First Street, is a much better alternative. Why tear up and destroy all of the money and the resources and everything that the downtown people have been working for to get downtown viable again and have the light rail? I guess that's basically why I'm here, is because I just don't want, downtown is just starting to come alive again, and people are down there walking around, new restaurants are opening, new activity. And I just believe that it'll all be for naught if the rail goes through.
Joetta, thank you very much. And I think we noted down, Mr. Clevenger, Mr. James, some of the questions that they have, and we'll make sure we follow up with you. I'm hoping those questions are answered also as we move along.
Okay. You ask, okay? But is there, since I still have a little bit of time, so I'd like to, when can we expect those answers? I mean, every time I'm at a meeting and I ask answers, not to you people, but to the transit, as the other gentleman said, no one answers our questions. We're just kind of sloughed off until the next meeting. I don't think that we should really be moving forward until some of these questions are answered.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll work on getting that. Corrine Brooks, and she'll be followed by Kelly Huntington.
Hi, I'm Corrine Brooks, 1235 North Sunnyvale. I also own the building at 10-104 West Main. I am in favor of the light rail, but not along Main Street. I have gone through, since 1965, four reconstructions of downtown, including losing my shoes crossing Main Street in the mud. We have a beautiful downtown now. People come down to look at it. Please don't put the light rail there. First Street or First Avenue would be fine. I think First Street, with all the police station, the courts, the Children's Museum, the Natural History Museum, the library, the council chambers, that's a great place for people to get on and off. So I thank you for listening to me, and I hope you do not destroy Main Street again.
Thank you. Excuse me. I do need to state, though, that Corrine Brooks is the wife of former Mayor Al Brooks, one of my favorite mayors of Mesa. So thank you, Corrine. Appreciate that. Yeah, did they ever find your shoe? You lost your shoe, like, permanently, or did it just get knocked off?
Permanently.
So buried. So, okay, so are you saying that if we tear up Main Street, we might find your shoe? See, there is an upside. It's like a time capsule. Thank you, Corrine. I appreciate it. Kelly, and she'll be followed by Mr. Jerry Spellman.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak also. My name is Kelly Huntington, and I'm one of the merchants downtown, Sweet Cakes Cafe. I know because most of you have eaten in my shop. I have a long history here in Mesa. We're a family that's been here for four generations. And so I likewise have seen the city torn up several times during the construction phase, and I know I personally avoided Main Street like the plague when it was torn up. I don't think it matters how good your food is or how nice your shop is. People are going to avoid construction, just like I don't drive down University right now because it is a disaster. As I was banking during the phase, the last phase, I banked at B of A, and I met with the Jack in the Box people there on the corner of Dobson, and I asked the manager, because she was talking about the light rail, and she said they were down 40%. Now, that's Jack in the Box. Taco Bell closed down and Denny's closed down. If those big guys can't survive, how do you expect us little guys to survive? Also, I think the downtown feel is so historical and antique, old buildings, and the light rail looks like something out of the Jetsons. You probably saw that because they quoted me in the paper. I think also it's going to split Main Street in half. We used to have Mary Main Street. I don't know if you guys remember that, but people walked across. We had vendors in the streets. It was a huge block party at Christmas time. We used to have parades down Main Street. We'd have the Friday and Saturday nights now that has brought tons of business. Our business is booming on the weekend nights. And likewise, I have just brought this business and almost doubled this business in 5 years. I'm thinking about expanding, but I have a real issue expanding if the light rail is going to, you know, destroy that for a couple years. I've had numerous offers to move to other places. I don't want to move. I love the downtown. My dad was downtown for 40 years. He was on Main Street. I love the feel. And also, what will be the core of Mesa? That's the core right now. Will the core be somewhere else if the light rail cuts it in half? And I just hope that you guys can really think about what you're doing. And it's not just about the money, but think about, sometimes it's not worth the cost of the historical value. And I know you used to drag Maine because I saw you there. So let's not ruin what we have. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm trying to think of you driving down Dragon Main Street. It's a scary thought. Mr. Jerry Spellman, and he'll be followed. Mr. Crummy, would you like to speak or not? I'm sorry?
I shall.
You will, okay. So he'll be followed by David Crummy.
I'm Jerry Spellman, 648 South Grand Street. I'm going to try to stick to the script here and hopefully get through it in 3 minutes. I'm also Arizona coordinator for Unimodal Systems. We're the developer of the SkyTran Maglev personal rapid transit system, and I've filled all of your email boxes with tons of information about SkyTran and Unimodal. I'm also a 30-year resident of Mesa, and I'm not your enemy. I've been working about 10 years now to try to educate and inform Arizona's, Maricopa County's, and Mesa's leaders and citizens that SkyTran's high-speed, low-cost, automated, and aerial transit system is worth serious consideration as a viable and affordable alternative to very costly light rail. We are at a critical time in Mesa's and our nation's transit history, and we face many challenges ahead. My colleagues and I at Unimodal SkyTran are working to fundamentally change our country's approach to developing transportation infrastructure. For far too long here in Maricopa County, special interests in politics, not economics, has dictated how transit funds are invested and how the transit system is managed. Over the past 10 years, too much time and energy and millions of dollars have been squandered on trying to make a trolley car look like a bullet train. It's been all show with little substance. Light rail still can't average over 20 miles per hour. The failings of the current light rail transit system are clear. Ridership is pathetic for a metro area this size. Traffic congestion and accidents have only increased since light rail started. Many businesses along the route have gone under. And this county's taxpayers have been taken for a ride. But now it's time to put an end to poor performance and lowered expectations and establish a new transport vision for the century ahead. There is a better way through public-private partnerships, and that's what SkyTran has been recommending to the City Council and to other leaders across this valley for the past 10 years. You are about to spend a fortune, $184 million, and it's not coming free to the taxpayers of Mesa. It's going to cost them to subsidize that system about $10 million per year. Are you going to go back to voters, ask them for a tax increase to pay for that? I don't think that's going to happen. Thank you for your time. I'll submit my remarks. I have a lot more to say. But as I said before, I've given you all the information you could ever need to try to consider SkyTran, and we hope you will do so in the future as you look for funding and partnerships to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spellman. Appreciate it. Mr. David Crummy.
Hi, my name is David Crummy, 1339 West 1st Street. I came down here just to see. I'm relatively new. I just purchased my house here in Mesa 6 months ago, mainly because of light rail. I'm also an ASU student, and one of my friends just completed her thesis, which analyzed property values in along the light rail corridor, which is seen in Phoenix and Tempe and places where the planning documents have increased density up to 195% increase in property value. And she's defending her thesis tomorrow at ASU if you're interested. Light rail to downtown, I also work just south of downtown. Light rail to downtown is imperative to the city of Mesa. I love the downtown feel of Mesa, and it would be a pity to live through 2 or 3 years of construction. But if that's the price we have to pay for the future of Mesa, I'm sure that the council and the city can work to help the businesses to survive this short ordeal to create Mesa that is vibrant and wonderful, that every time I walk downtown, it says, this is where Mesa is going to be. I want to see hundreds of thousands of people here going to these great businesses. And I've visited many of your businesses, and they're fantastic, and it's important that we bring more people to Mesa, and that's not going to happen unless we can bring people to downtown Mesa, where our heart is. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crummy. Ms. Crocker, do we have any more requests to speak?
No more requests, Mayor.
Okay, we have three individuals who have submitted cards, but said they did not wish to speak. Mr. Jim Davidson submitted a card in support. Mr. Ian Bennett, also a card in support. And Ms. Don Roberts, also a card in support. Okay. Council members, any questions you'd like to ask of Metro or anyone else? Councilmember Higgins.
I have a question. Did we ever look at an alternative that didn't include the 490 degree turns? Like something that has a much more gentle bend coming off of Main Street going east?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, we've looked at, the regional transportation plan focused on Main Street between Country Club and Sycamore. And then what we looked at, we'll call it east of Country Club, we looked at First Street, First Avenue, and Main Street. The turns, I believe, that you're talking about are to the north to First Street and to the south on First Avenue. We did not look at alignments, we'll call it, between Country Club and Sycamore to go either north or south. Those were, I believe, looked at during the regional transportation plan process and then eliminated, but the study that we looked at focused it on, we'll call it Main Street between Country Club and Sycamore, and then in the downtown area we were looking at three alignments. Two of those alignments have sharp turns, actually four sharp turns on each of those alignments to get up and back down.
And I think if I'm hearing you correctly, you have four sharp turns. The alternative would be to have like 45 degree, rather than 90 degree turns, to literally have 45 degree turns that would ease into First Street or First Avenue. I think is that what you're talking about? Yeah. And those were looked at. And what was your determination on those?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, yes, we did look at those, and those tight turns that you see on that map were looked at to preserve property, because every time we were struggling with, we'll call it two different concepts or two different issues there that we had, is one, the tight turns required less property, but the tight turns also are very slow. And if you widen those turns out, you take more property, but the alignment becomes, or I should say the speeds increase.
How significant would be the property taking if you were to cut, let's say you get to a country club and you go on a 45-degree angle to either First Street or First Avenue, how significant would that property taking be required to accomplish either one of those?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, in the downtown area, considering how sensitive those properties are, it would be pretty significant. We'd be removing parking and we'd be removing buildings.
So you'd, in one case, I'm just thinking, hitting Country Club and going south, for example, First Avenue, you'd literally have to take out almost an entire row of buildings. Would that be accurate?
If you widen those turns to allow the speed, the answer is yes, and that shows up pretty clearly in the map.
Yeah, could you maybe put that map back up
sure.
So people can get a frame of reference?
If you look at that map, and I don't have a pointer, but you can see at Morris, we're taking things up to the north on First Street and then to the south on First Avenue. You have businesses on the north, you've got the bank building and the hotel in that area. Those properties would be impacted. The bank would probably have to be removed. And on the south side, we looked at actually making that turn very tight onto Morris. And what happens when you do that is the parking would be removed. Now, granted, that is in public right-of-way, but a lot of those businesses depend on that on-street parking on Morris. And if we remove that parking, potentially that could be considered a reverse condemnation.
So you're saying if you went north on First Street, going at an angle, you'd have to take out those businesses, take out the bank building in order to get to First Street. That's what you get from an angle standpoint. All those businesses along there would have to be taken out for the line.
Yes, sure. That's correct.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins?
I'm just wondering, your map went away. Could you bring your map back up? Only because it's easy to read.
Which map?
I guess not. Okay. I just wondered if between Country Club and Alma School, I'm sorry, between Sycamore, if there was any, there's like a lot of vacant property through that area west of Country Club. And I just wondered if anyone had looked at a different corridor to come off of. No.
Other than Country Club?
No. Other. Pardon me? Okay.
Are you saying...
As an angle to come down to like either Main Street, I'm sorry, First Avenue. First Avenue.
Or First Street.
No.
Yeah, we could start early before Country Club and go in and take out that brake shop right there. Oh, that didn't work. No, I don't think that's not gonna happen.
No, I mean, because First Avenue goes across Country Club, of course, right? All the way to Alma School.
First Avenue?
Yes.
No.
No,
dead
it does
end.
Not.
Does
it is not continuing.
Both First Street and First Avenue dead end at Country Club.
Then what's the street that goes right across? What's that called?
Yeah, it's a minor neighborhood street.
Okay.
First Street goes all the ways, but it's all residential.
I figured you'd drive on there.
Okay. Councilmember Finter?
Could you tell me again, remind me the cost of the different alternatives than going there? There's significant costs on either side. Could you break that down for me, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The difference cost it's approximately $11 or $12 million to go north or to the south, or in addition to, we've got a number on Main Street of approximately $185 million, and it's about an additional $10 or $12 million to go to the north or to the south.
And in addition, I know we probably don't have specifics, but eminent domain issues as far as taking of property, pretty significant if we go either alternative.
That's correct. On the Main Street alternative, we've tried very hard, especially in the downtown area, to maintain the curbing where it is. We do have, depending upon how we treat the left turns at Country Club and depending upon how we treat the traffic configuration on Main Street, and in the worst case, in the area, we'll call it between Robson and Country Club, the sidewalks move north a little bit, but we don't have any right-of-way takes. Depending upon how we treat the traffic and depending upon how we treat the double left turns at Country Club, we may actually be able to reduce that quite a bit. And that's part of the next phase of this project is one, number one, is to understand whether or not we need two lanes of traffic in each direction on Main Street or one lane, and how on-street parking gets treated in relation to those, to that traffic configuration in addition to the left turn requirements. For example, do we really need the double left turns at Country Club?
Well, and I was leaning towards on either alternative, there was going to be quite a bit of potential for eminent domain and taking of properties to look at either alternative besides Main Street. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thanks.
Okay. Councilman Ridgens, then come back.
Just a quick question. Somebody brought up the Dobson Road alignment, and obviously there's a lot of activity happening in the Dobson Road corridor. What are the barriers to cutting down to Dobson Road? I mean, cutting down to like Southern by Fiesta Mall.
Well, Councilman Richards, members of the council, we early on, and this goes back way several years, we had looked at taking an alignment down Dobson to get to the Fiesta Mall area. That was ruled out for a number of reasons. As number one, we can do that connection very well with bus connections, and we're actually seeing that today. I believe it's the 96 that connects to that area. And that we're seeing some good bus connections going to that area today. In addition to that, if we wanted to go east to Gilbert Road, which we're seeing some good demand at, obviously if we go to Fiesta Mall, we've got some issues of how do we get to that, we'll call it that part of Mesa, to the Gilbert Road area. So we did rule that out a very long time ago. The Regional Transportation Plan did not focus on alignment to the Fiesta Mall. It focused on an alignment east along, we'll call it Main Street. And we also wanted to tie in with the Link service, which is operating out of Superstition Mall.
Do the existing railroad tracks present any barriers to going down there? Because I know light rail and heavy rail tracks don't mix well. How would you get over the railroad tracks?
We would have to go over the railroad tracks. I'm not familiar exactly where the railroad tracks are at that location. But, for example, any time that we would cross those railroad tracks, we would have to be grade separated. So in other words, the railroad would either have to go up or light rail would either have to go up and over or under.
Thanks.
So we would have to have the grade separation. We would not be able to cross at grade, similar to, say, the buses do today.
Great. Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. There's a big cost difference between the bus rapid transit and the light rail for initial cost. But my understanding that long-term, the BRT has more... a higher cost of maintenance, et cetera. Is there like a crossover point at which one alternative would be cheaper, even if it's a 15 or 20 year type thing?
Yeah, actually, excuse me. We did look at that, and the way that's factored is you got to remember the buses have a life expectancy of 12 years, and the rail cars have a life expectancy of about 30 years. In addition to that, we've got one driver operating a bus that carries approximately 90 passengers. On rail, we've got one driver, one operator carrying up to three rail cars with about 150 people per rail car. So we do have some efficiencies in there. We have some labor costs, we have some equipment costs. I can't give you the exact year when those things do begin to cross over, but what we see is we're replacing three buses for each rail vehicle. And then we also have a labor cost involved in that, as we've got one operator carrying, we'll call it 90 passengers versus 450 passengers. Where we have seen some capacity problems with buses is, we'll call it, especially during special events. The Sycamore Station, we would not be able to handle those crowds that we're seeing today at Main and Sycamore with the current bus system. During the special event times, whether it's commencement at Sun Devil Stadium or whether it's a Diamondbacks game, we're seeing a tremendous demand for, we'll call it, Mesa residents to use that park and ride lot to get to either ASU or to get to baseball game or other event. We're also seeing that the park and ride lot at Sycamore is filling up earlier than any of the other park and ride lots in the system. In addition to that, the Sycamore Station is the highest boarding station in the 20-mile system. So we're seeing a tremendous amount of demand, we'll call it from the East Valley, from Mesa residents. And on some of our modeling work is continuing to show that trend as we move the alignment to the east.
Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I attended many, if not most, of the public meetings that that you had to elicit input, and the common theme was how can you manage construction in a way that can minimize the impact to the retail tenants or the property owners in downtown? What have you learned from your experience in the first 20-mile segment? And so at this point, what type of construction schedule would you propose to address some of the concerns that you have heard from those public meetings?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, at this stage of the analysis and the preliminary engineering that we're actually at, or the conceptual engineering that we're at, we've actually done quite a bit more to address that specific issue. And the reason we've done that is we heard early on from the residents in the downtown area that the concern about construction and how is that going to affect their business. We have looked carefully at the utilities along Main Street. Our feeling right now is, yes, there are utilities that do need to be relocated, but they're minor utilities, and they're not major utilities. In addition to that, we've looked at how can we stage some of that construction activity. We did get some input from some of the we'll call it property owners along Main Street. If you can do it during the summer, we could probably live with that. And so we have looked at whether or not we could construct between Country Club and Mesa Drive during the summer months. And most specifically, we've really focused on, we'll call it Centennial or Hibbert to the west. And the conclusion that we've come up with at this stage is that we could do that. In other words, construct during the summer months in the downtown area and construct in the winter months west of Country Club. And we believe that we can do that within those we'll call it the summer month and winter month periods. Now, the construction method that we're looking at is a design bid build contract at this time, where Metro would have more control in the specifications of that contract of how that could work. In addition, we do want to propose that we continue to do the same, we'll call it business assistance and business cooperation or coordination program that we had on the first 20 miles, which worked pretty well in the Tempe Mesa area. And I know some of the council members actually had some experience with that. So right now, we believe that we can construct during the summer months in the downtown area in 2 6-month periods between, we'll call it Centennial and Country Club, and then we would have 2 summer month periods east of Hibbert.
Just so we're clear on that, because we need to define what it means to construct during the summer months. We're talking about, like, right now, middle of May through first of October, middle of October, whatever it would
there
be.
There were six, yeah, excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Yes, there were 6-month periods that we looked at, and that was May to October.
Okay. Now, the construction would mean that during the summer there could and would be traffic interruption, that Main Street, you may have traffic, but you may not have traffic at all on Main Street. Is that accurate?
Not quite. And the reason why I say that is we thought initially when we looked at the construction that we could potentially, depending upon what kind of input we got from the stakeholders, is that we looked at whether or not it would make sense to let the contractor, we'll say, without any traffic control, try to get in and get out as quickly as possible and not worry about traffic control. Given what we saw about access, you know, block by block, there were only a couple blocks that we could really do that. So we're looking at maintaining traffic during those summer months. Now, there may be some closures during, we'll call it evenings and weekends, for concrete to dry and so forth. As we have to lay tracks through those intersections, we have to do it in a way that we can get those intersections done, and then certain times that would have to be closed while the concrete dries.
Now, in the off-season, though, there would be limited or only center section activities, and therefore there would be free flow of traffic during the winter months.
That's correct.
Okay, so you would virtually have no activity in those blocks during the October through May.
That's correct.
The winter season. Okay. The other thing I'd like to follow up with on the construction is, my understanding is that there would be limited disruption of the existing sidewalks and infrastructure, that only at some of the corners where you have that outcropping
would there be any real disruption? Is that accurate?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, that is accurate, and we've been trying to, the one issue that's still outstanding that we've been trying to work on, depending upon how that would, is street lighting. For example, today you've got street lighting in the middle of the street, and what we want to do, and we've gotten some comments from the State Historic Preservation Office, is to maintain that street lighting in the middle of the street. But in most cases in the downtown area, those curbs, the way we're showing it now in our engineering drawings, is those curbs stay where they are.
Okay. Councilmember Kevin, don't you have any additional? Okay. Vice Mayor? Oh, do you have something related to that? Because Vice Mayor.
Oh, no. Not related to that.
I pick a number. I have numbers here. Vice Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Having been here through this whole process, there are a number of questions that were raised, comments made, and I'd like to address some of those along with my comments as I put it together. But one of those questions had to do with funding, and people have a tendency to get this misunderstood, is the funding of this has absolutely no correlation with our other city services, because this is coming from Prop 400 money and from federal funding. We included this transportation corridor in the Prop 400 funds so that we're not looking at effects on other city services. It has no direct correlation in that if we don't use that Prop 400 money, it's going to go somewhere else in the region, in the valley. It was designated for this project. If we don't do this project, it's going to be used for a transit project somewhere else in the valley. Is that a correct statement?
That's a correct statement.
Okay. So the funding, again, no correlation with other city services in that regard. When Prop 400 was being brought before the voters, I can still remember, first of all, I was a proponent of one of the First Avenue, First Street alignments. I did not want to go down Main Street when we first had this brought before us. And at that time, when we were setting up the voting for Prop 400, originally staff was pushing just to say on proposals for Prop 400 was to do light rail down Main Street. That was the original proposal, and I went to the mayor's office and jumped up and down and said, I don't think that's going to work for us. Let's do a study between First and First, call it a high-capacity transit corridor, and that's what our study has been. Since that study has taken place, I have moved off of First, and I've gone to Main Street for very many reasons. And I'm not going to go completely into all of them, except that, because a number have been touched on, when you slow a train down on those turns, you also reduce ridership. That's a proven fact in other transit studies from other areas of the country where they have light rail. You slow it down, you reduce ridership, you have the challenge of more property taking, more expense to make the turns, you get into some eminent domain issues that I don't want to touch. You get into a whole lot of other problems. So going down Main Street is the preferred approach when it comes to, one, the overall cost, the overall ridership, all the factors that have been talked about. So when we came to the realization that Main Street was probably going to be the best alternative, and Mark, you'll remember as we sat in a room and I says, that's fine, let's go down Main Street, but here's the parameters, you don't touch the streetscape. And I think you remember that conversation. You don't touch the streetscape, all your work is going to be done in the middle of the street. And that is where we have progressed on through this study was the streetscape stays, we just have to determine whether we have one lane or two lanes of traffic, or one lane and a bike lane, or however you want to look at it. But curb to curb, the sidewalks into the businesses, that streetscape, except in just a couple of places for the stations, remains untouched.
And that's correct. We've got a couple locations, and again, it depends on the left turns and the configuration of traffic, but by and large, that is a correct statement.
Okay. Another one of the concerns was people want to compare the construction through our downtown section with some areas of Phoenix, and having reviewed with folks in Phoenix, you really can't do that comparison. The biggest reason being, there was planning done a long time ago when they did construction where they relocated those utilities that are already under the streetscape, a good portion of them. We aren't going to have to go through the the experience that a large chunk of Central Avenue had where they didn't know what was underground until they opened it up, which created long, prolonged delays and surprises for them. We're not going to have those same kind of surprises because we already know what we have under the street there. So you're just not going to have, you can't compare it with what historically took place in downtown Phoenix. It's apples and oranges, totally different. Also, you have, when you talk about investment in property and the property values of what they are, we've already had how many billion dollars of investment along the rail corridor in the 20 miles since construction started?
$7 billion.
$7 billion of investment on property along the light rail line, because those values, they recognize the value of what it's going to bring and what they're able to do. And that's just now. There's a lot more that's going to happen, but right now there's $7 billion of investment taking place along that 20-mile stretch.
That's correct.
Okay. So I, having gone through this whole process from the beginning, I've been changed in what my initial thought process was and what we should do, and Main Street is the appropriate location to bring it down. It is not going to totally tear up as it historically was. The streetscape stays the same. We can minimize our construction time compared to other locations on the light rail. And it just makes the most sense that we go down Main Street.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. I've heard a couple comments about seeing empty buses driving by. So looking at you have numbers. You have different numbers for bus rapid transit and larger numbers for light rail, like quite a bit larger. Can you explain why the ridership is higher in a light rail over a bus? And that might explain why current buses people see are empty.
Well, there's a couple things going on, and if you've been on the rail project today, and we're trying to quantify those numbers, we know that the rail line is attracting significant numbers of people that would not take the bus. Where we're seeing those numbers different that you're talking about is all coming out of the travel model. And what we're seeing is people, if on the bus rapid transit that we're talking about, are people that would go from, we'll call it the East Valley, and transfer at Sycamore. And every time we have people transfer, we know that that's an inconvenience. It's a one-seat ride versus a two-seat ride. And the travel model gives a penalty for the two seats. So what we're seeing is we'll call it people between, we'll call it Mesa Drive and Sycamore, we're seeing an attraction on the one-seat ride, which is the numbers that you're seeing, versus the two-seat ride. Now, what we're also seeing goes back to the comment earlier that was made by, I think it was Councilman Jones about travel time, is we're also seeing more ridership on Main Street, and that's because we're seeing, we have a, we'll call it a, the travel times are slower because of the turns going up to First Street or south to First Avenue. So if we have in the stations approximately in the same location and we can speed things up, we know we're going to attract riders. If we can have a one-seat ride versus a two-seat ride, we know we're going to attract riders.
Okay. Councilman Richens?
A couple of questions. One, it was recently reported that because of funding in Prop 400 that our project could be delayed up to a year. Is that true?
That's a correct statement.
And because of that possible delay, I mean, can we put this decision off a year?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, actually, in the program that we've looked at, we're approximately 6 to 9 months behind on the 2015 date. To be able to activate preliminary engineering and get the proper approvals from the Federal Transit Administration to move this forward with the funding that's required, even though this project is going to be delayed, we still think that schedule is relatively tight. So we want to, in fact, we have just come back from meeting with Federal Transit Administration to talk about the Mesa project and some of the documentation. And there's some, we'll call it some desire from FTA to move this project given the cost and so forth. But to get to your question specifically, if we delay this decision a week or two, that won't matter. But if we delay it beyond that, it's going to slow us down and be able to get through the federal process and to get the approvals that we need so that we can get into final design and we can get construction going.
Okay. Thanks. Also, one other question is, I know Councilmember Jones touched on construction costs. How have we accounted for or budgeted for maintenance costs for our light rail system? Where's the, what's the funding mechanism for that?
Mayor, Councilor Richardson, that would have to come out of the city's general operating budget as it does today.
Does it, is like the, there's a set aside for maintenance, that through, what is it, a 0.3% sales tax, is that?
No, that's specifically for streets, not for transit.
But in your budgeting, you've
But as we look out into the 2015.
This isn't a surprise. We know we've
pushed it out. No, we have set aside the dollars that will be needed in that date when the light rail comes online. So we build into that, into our long range forecast.
And approximately what's that number?
I believe the number, if I remember, Mike, correct me wrong, is it 3 million or so? What's the number? Do you remember?
We're currently paying about 1.2 million per mile per year. So times that by 2.7. So
our total length in Mesa would be what at that point?
For the phase one would be 2.7 miles.
Was that from the Tempe border or is that from Sycamore?
What was the total?
The extension. The total.
I'm talking about the extension.
The total would be 3.7.
3.7 would be the total out to Mesa Drive.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Vice Mayor. No, go ahead. Motion.
Yes, Mayor. Thank you. This is something that has been taken very seriously. I understand people are very concerned, especially those who have businesses along Main Street. And it's not taken lightly. And I, as I said before, I have was originally not for Main Street, but in light of all the things that I have learned over the years and the facts, the information, the possibilities, all the factors taken in, I believe firmly that Main Street is our best option, and we need to move forward so that we don't miss the opportunity for the funding that is there. And so I make a motion that we approve the alignment down Main Street for our phase one extension.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. We have a motion to approve the Main Street Alliance from Vice Mayor Jones, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Is there any other comments? Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I want to acknowledge former Vice Mayor Jim Davidson here. When Mr. Davidson was on the council, he was the leading advocate for the city exploring light rail and looking at the opportunities that it could provide for our community. And his leadership led to a lot of study by the city in terms of looking at the costs and benefits of doing this. And that also entered into the planning that was done in terms of the construction on Main Street 10 to 12 years ago. There was the possibility of light rail coming down Main Street, and so the city did spend a lot of time and effort to relocate utilities to minimize future disruption if light rail came down Main Street. And the idea was to make the streetscape wide enough that it would have minimal impact if light rail ultimately came down the center of Main Street. I am convinced that it is the best way to go versus all the options. I had looked at the options of First Avenue, First Street over a year ago, and have continued to look at it as I've gone to the many public meetings. I'm convinced that from a cost-benefit analysis, the city will benefit much more by going through a Main Street alignment. I've had been fortunate to represent the district that has light rail right now, and I know many of the residents, the business owners, who are along the first segment of light rail that we've had. And there was a lot of excitement. There was consternation during construction, but we lived through it. And I think the results that we're starting to see are fairly impressive in terms of new investment that is starting to come in around the Sycamore Station, areas that have had little new investment in many, many years. And I think we have the same opportunity along continuing along to Alma School, we have, as well as downtown, I think the record does reflect in every community that has light rail. Those who own property along light rail generally are going to see a significant increase in their property values. Those who have businesses, once light rail is open, certainly along on the first segment, have experienced a significant increase in business as well. But the more important thing for me is to look at the sustainability of our community. Light Rail helps to attract multi-use developments. It helps to attract residential in of all different kinds. I think it affords an opportunity for us to have a sustainable community. And so the again, the other options on First Avenue, First Street have their merits and demerits, but overall, the if I'm grading the report card, Main Street does get the A in terms of all the other issues for the valley, for commute time, for costs, and for overall benefits to the community. So I'm supporting Vice Mayor's motion.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to echo a lot of what Councilmember Kavanaugh had to say about the benefits that we've seen from light rail, just anecdotally. When you look at Phoenix and when you look at what's happening in Tempe along their light rail sign, we've seen incredible investments along there that are going to have positive economic benefit in terms of jobs. We've seen reinvestment in some high-density residential development with mixed use, vertically integrated mixed use, retail on the ground floor, residents up above. It's part of the new urban design and the type of environment that many empty nesters, students, professors at ASU, for example, want to live in. We've seen much of that. We've seen some of that in Mesa, not as much as we'd like, but we only have 0.9 miles of it. And if we've seen any positive is the fact that they've taken a number of old buildings, they've bulldozed them. We've passed new plans for this new urbanist type of design, and I think as we come out of this economy, we're going to see those properties increase in value and some pretty exciting things happen. So what does that have to do with downtown Mesa? Downtown Mesa is charming, but as I was quoted saying in the paper last week, it still doesn't have a soul. There are many, many things that have to happen in downtown Mesa for it to be the vibrant urban center, the successful retail and activity center that we want it to be. Not more than 15 years ago, I remember reading just recently an old DMA report that said, if we have parking, they will come. We have parking, they're not coming as fast as we would like them to. I remember reading not too long ago, I'm sorry, Dennis, is your favorite, one of your favorite projects, that if we have the art center downtown, they will come. And they've come a little, but they're not here yet. Downtown Mesa has got to continue to adapt and to change and to grow. There's not one item that is going to make downtown Mesa magical. It's not the parking, it's not the art center, it's not high density mixed use residential, it's not bringing in more jobs, it's certainly not the light rail coming through downtown. Folks, it's all of it. The reason that Tempe Town Lake is becoming successful is because of all the elements that went, not just the lake, but the light rail and the high-density residential that's coming down and the zoning changes that they made to make this a vibrant area. We have got to change and adapt all of that in order to make downtown Mesa successful. Can downtown Mesa be successful? There are people out in my district, in East Mesa, who think we ought to give up on you. The heck with downtown Mesa, it can't be salvaged. Let's make Southeast Mesa over by the new Gaylord Resort, let's make that our new downtown area and focus on that. That's a mistake. Should that area be successful too? Absolutely. Can we have two urban areas? Yes. Why can downtown Mesa be successful? Because of all the changes that we are making, our willingness to adapt, to bring new ideas in, and the fact that growth is happening from west to east in this part of town. You guys are next. Tempe Town, downtown Tempe wasn't a whole heck of a lot of anything 15 years ago either. Look at it today. What can Mesa be in 10 years? We have to adapt to all of it. The light rail is a component. It's a part of that. It has proven to be successful in many communities. Anecdotally here in Mesa, Tempe, and Phoenix, it has done quite well so far. That said, we've made a lot of promises to you. You haven't heard all of them, but we've talked about helping you along to the business owners, helping you along to make sure that you are impacted as minimally as possible. We're going to shift the schedule to make sure that we can accommodate you during the winter months, and we'll do the construction in the summer, and that we don't have the utility problems in the way. As we move forward, and I look at Mr. Brady, because I think ultimately you're responsible in the way, and so is this council, all seven, one, two, three, four, eight of us better dang well make sure that that's the case. That we do what we can, we make our plans absolutely clear, and then over the next few months to a year to 2 years, that as Metro does their plans and works with transportation in the city and the city manager's office and economic development, that the folks out here who have come with their concerns, that we take those into consideration, and before we turn one piece of asphalt, that they know what that plan is and how we're going to execute it, and that we help them as best we can. I also agree with our vice mayor, whose district this is. Actually, Kyle, I thought that that a loop would work the best. But for financial reasons, it doesn't. For the fact that we would have to condemn property, it doesn't. And also, I thought a loop would work best because I thought that maybe Mesa Drive's a great terminus. We just turn the trains around right there. But as it turns out, that may not be the best thing for the future. Putting this all the way down to Gilbert Road, or at least planning to move it down to Gilbert Road, puts us at a, first of all, higher numbers of riders that you've seen in those reports, but also gives us a natural decision point. Do we go straight down Main Street later, and eventually, as a lot of folks out in Southeast Mesa would like to see, can we hook this up in 30 or 40 years to Gateway, Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport, or maybe we go down to the freeway and hook it up that way, where it becomes, honest to God, mass transit and higher speed along that freeway. That's not a decision for today and not a decision for this council. But those are decisions that are awake, and I think going straight down Main Street. And one last thing, Mayor, and I appreciate your time, is Albert. Is Albert still here, sir? And I apologize for using your first name, but it was kind of hard to read, and I'm afraid I'm going to butcher it. But you live out by me, sir. And I agree with you. I've been working on transit issues out in that direction. I tell you that it's been incredibly popular with what's going on at the, and I hope you've had the opportunity to ride it, the link, the transit opportunities that are opening up at Superstition Springs Center. It's a natural corridor. We're continuing to work on better opportunities, and right now the best opportunity out there is to continue to use bus service as you recommend. The next logical step in our district, I believe, is to not make the mall the terminus, but actually move us south into ASU Polytechnic campus and the airport that down in that direction. But we are continuing to work on that area as well. So I agree with you. We need to focus on how this all connects, and that's why continuing the light rail is an important step in that direction. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilmember Richens.
I probably should start out apologizing to my family for all the times that I dragged them to ride a light rail system throughout the western United States every time I travel to Salt Lake City or Sacramento or San Jose or anywhere that they have a system. I like to go check them out. It's a sickness, I guess. But fortunately, I get to work for a nonprofit called the Sonoran Institute. They are a 501c3. I got to plug them, you know. But anyway, I get to study growth issues and transit issues for a living, and it's a lot of fun. It's neat to see how other communities have handled the situation that we're in now, and I've been continually impressed at the results that have been coming from light rail. It's not really just about moving people. It's about redevelopment. Phoenix and Tempe kind of cast that die for us a long time ago. They decided this was going to be a redevelopment project. If we wanted to just make it a transportation project, there would have been different routes chosen and to move people. But Phoenix and Tempe wanted to make this about redevelopment in some of their areas. And we got it to a certain place, and we have the same opportunities that come to us. I've been in favor of the route along First Avenue for a long time and have favored that route for a long time. I knew the numbers were going to come back that showed Main Street was cheaper. That was no surprise to me, mainly because of the preparation that previous councils did along that route. The thing that's made me favor Main Street now is the eminent domain issue. it's just been hard for me to get to a place where I can take somebody else's business and completely condemn it and tear it down so I can skirt it one way or the other. Now, construction on Main Street is going to be difficult for Main Street businesses. Let's not sugarcoat it. But I hope everybody in this audience today and those that are watching Channel 11 will pledge to continue to patronize downtown businesses despite construction. We have great access in our downtown, down First Street and down First Avenue and Pepper. There's ways to get there. Our parking's behind the buildings. It's fairly easy to get there and never even touch Main Street. I go to downtown businesses. Most of our downtown business owners have probably seen me in their establishments. I get my hair cut down there. I eat breakfast down there. I'm down there all the time. I love our downtown. I need some leather products too, so I'll get to Joetta's leather too. my wife would probably disagree with that. But our downtown is set up well. Our downtown is set up well for the mayor's giggling. Sorry about that.
I'm looking for leather products on the agenda. I don't see it
here. Joetta's leather's here. You got to plug them.
Okay, I got you.
Don't you know that business? That's a great business. I love their store. Looks great. But we've had a lot of smart people studying these alignments for a long time. A lot of the issues have been fleshed out. The information's out there. If you have answers to your questions, there's multiple websites. There's lots of places to go for those answers to your questions. If you haven't got the answer, you're either not listening to the answer or you're not doing the homework you need to do it. Because I've found answers to every question that's been raised here. And it's not because I got a one-on-one briefing. It's because I went out and I did my homework. I've been studying light rail systems around the Western United States for a long time. So I'm excited for it to come down Main Street. I think it's the right alignment. I think it gets us down towards Gilbert Road is the right to have is a good goal to have it extended down there. I don't want to have to use eminent domain for this project. It's not the right thing to do to our businesses. But I served on the community advisory board for Line Section 5 prior to being on council. It was Valley Metro's community board that heard complaints from local businesses due to construction. So I sat for a year and a half and I heard every possible problem a business could deal with from construction of light rail. And I'm hoping I've been told that we're going to have the same program here. And I was constantly impressed at how proactive the contractor was at solving the problems of local businesses. The reason he was proactive is a portion of his bonus was tied to how well he reacted to business concerns. He helped them with signage and barricades, and there's even problems that weren't related to light rail construction that they were solving. They just got that good at it. At the beginning of the process, it would take a day or two to solve some of the problems. At the end of the process, they were fixing problems before people were calling. They had become that proactive. Son Stacy Whitbeck was the contractor there, and I was always constantly impressed by their diligence. We can do that here in Mesa, too. And I know that we can. I've seen it happen, and it will happen in our downtown. And I'm hoping that we'll have a engaged group of stakeholders during the entire construction process that will continue to work with the contractors in the city and everybody else involved, the DMA, to make sure that we have a successful construction project. And I'm hoping that all the people that I see getting off the train at Sycamore and Main and wandering around Sycamore and Main with absolutely nothing to do but go to IHOP or Mekong Plaza are going to be in our downtown in the not-too-distant future. So I'll be supporting the Main Street line. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. When we first started investigating this whole process, I looked at it as how can we get the biggest economic development boost out of the light rail? And when you look at the property, you think, well, First Avenue looks like the most vacant land where we could actually get a big bang out of it. Well, as we moved on and saw what happened as the line opened and as economic development occurred, that it actually, I was told, from a mile to a mile and a half, the benefits are just as if you were on the light rail line as far as economic development boost to the area. So your property, even though you're not on the line, gets the benefit. So like First Avenue is going to get a benefit if light rail comes down Main Street because it's now more valuable property because it's a block away from the line. So that started my changing of my thought process, along with, since the light rail's open and I've taken a few trips and noticed how much slower the train actually goes when you have to make those right-hand turns.
And I thought, put in another four turns going through downtown Mason, it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me, because some days you go, oh, we're stopping again, and then when it gets going, you're happy. So to purposely put in a known four-turn slow thing just didn't seem to be the right thing. And on top of many other reasons that have been previously shared, I, too, have changed my mind and agree with the Main Street alignment. Thank you.
Councilman Finter.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be brief. The question that we're asked is, are we supporting the recommendation of going with Main Street alignment? I am, for three very simple reasons. To go otherwise, or one of the alternatives, would be a $12 million hit in additional costs. It's highly probable that we would have to use eminent domain, not in favor of doing that, and the potential problems of underground utilities that could really skyrocket the cost of the project would cause me to choose that alternative. I'll tell you, I have really strong feelings about light rail, and I'm going to save some of those for 10B. So thank you, sir.
Thank you. Boy, we've had a lot of epiphanies here and a change of heart, and I will say that I'm one of them. I don't think there's an issue that I have been faced with since I took office that I have studied more than this issue right here. I studied it before I came to office and had very, very strong feelings as it relates to the proposed alignment, and was very much a First Avenue proponent for a variety of reasons. I have traveled to Salt Lake City, I've traveled to Denver, I've traveled to Dallas, met with their local officials there to try and understand the problems they had, the challenges they had, and the opportunities they took advantage of. So I can say I've really taken to heart this issue. I will also be supporting a Main Street alignment, and I'll, for the reasons that we've heard. First of all, I think that if there's one thing that I maybe disagree with Metro on, is I do believe the cost estimates for a First Avenue or a First Street realignment are understated. And it comes down to a simple thing. If they're understated, that could put the entire extension at risk, simply because as it is right now, there are sufficient funds budgeted to pay for the extension without the city of Mesa coming out of pocket. Any cost overruns that come from going along First Street or First Avenue, we would have to pay for. I am not willing to put the entire project at risk to come up with something that I cannot be assured that the city of Mesa can finance within its current situation, and its current situation is not very good. So that got me thinking Main Street. The second thing, I share the same things with eminent domain and the operational issues as far as the right turns. I think that would kill this project. And this is a regional project. This is not even a city of Mesa project. Unlike roads, streets, things like that, we think of those on a local basis, even freeways. We think primarily of the frontage of the freeway. We think of transit much differently. When we get on at Sycamore, we're going somewhere else. We're going to Tempe. We're going to downtown Phoenix. We're going somewhere else. And so transit is very much a regional activity. As a matter of fact, the regional process is what brought us to the point where we are right now. We did not choose this, I would say. This was part of a regional plan. And I'm very much in favor of increasing our regional connectivity and a regional plan. And I think it's extremely important that we adhere to that. I didn't create this plan that we have, nor did many of the council members we have here, most of them. It was done by my predecessors. I don't say that lightly, because I feel that my responsibility is even heightened. I feel a very, very serious responsibility to take what they have created, the opportunity they have created, and to do what's right, and to do what's right both for the city of Mesa as a whole and for our region as a whole, because I truly believe that as the region grows, so will we grow. We can't do it separate from them. We have to do it with them, and I think that's a great opportunity we have. I would like to say one thing to the business owners. I don't want to dismiss any of your concerns, because I think every one of your concerns is valid. Every one of your fears is valid. Having owned a business that suffered very deeply from a construction project, not in Mesa, but in another city, I know what your fears are, and they're real. And I do not want to diminish those one bit, because they were one of the main objections I had to a Main Street alignment. I have spent a lot of time both observing what has been done, as Councilmember Richens talked about, and also talking with Metro about our concerns and making sure that they understand the real and valid concerns of our business owners. I've been extremely impressed by both the process that they followed, the things that they have learned, the fact that they also went to places like Salt Lake and Denver and learned from some of the disastrous things that those systems did, and learned those lessons from the mistakes they made. I think we have a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience that we can learn from and use. And I also think that that the plan that they've come up with the dual season, off season, with our unique setup in downtown, I truly believe that if done right, it cannot completely eliminate the downside. It'd be silly to hint that it would do that. I think it can certainly mitigate the negative impact. I think that with the 2 or 3 years we have to plan, we will have many more discussions as far as how it will affect individual businesses. I think you will have a lot of opportunities to ask specific questions and to raise specific points. And once again, after talking with business owners along the construction route, listening to how they experienced Metro's customer service program, I feel very comfortable that we will be able to get through that. And I will say one thing, too. You know, there's sort of this attitude or belief that somehow if we move light rail away from Main Street, that Main Street will stay the same. I don't believe that's true. Main Street will change. Whether we go down First Street, First Avenue, or directly on Main Street will change. Because if we go down First Avenue, that will become Main Street. I have no idea how it will change if we go another route, but it will change. As we look at how we build down Main Street, I think it can create the exact opposite of what people think of. I think it can create a vibrancy and an energy into the downtown stretch that we can't even imagine right now. I think that having those trains go right through the middle of downtown will bring people into the city center. They'll see the stores, they'll get off, they'll walk. I truly believe it'll create a dynamic that we haven't truly thought of yet, and we need to start imagining at a higher level. So to the business owners, I truly do understand your fears, and once again, I believe they're valid. But I hope that over the next year or two that we can soothe those fears. We can help you to take advantage of the opportunity that I believe this will truly bring. And as we move forward with however far light rail ends up going, that we as a community can take full advantage of that and work with our business owners to not only make them succeed, but help them to thrive. So I think your questions will be answered. I think that because of financial reasons, eminent domain reasons, operational reasons, and the fact that I do believe we have answers for some of the most serious construction issues, I am going to be supporting this alignment also. And I look forward to a great future. This is not a hasty decision. I have listened to many, many Main Street property owners, tenants, others who have volunteered their opinions to me. And this study has been going on for 5 years now. So this is something we have grown into, and I hope that we can learn to come together and bring this forward and hopefully have a successful system that goes right down the Main Street. So please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative, and item 10A is adopted. I will now turn the podium over to Vice Mayor, as I will recuse myself from this.
All right, we're now on to item 10B, and that is recommending extending light rail transit on Main Street from Sycamore to Gilbert Road. That is to work on the process of going beyond just where the Mesa Drive is funded to now, to begin that study and working for it, and then hopefully sometime finding some financing to do that. But we need to at least get the discussion going on that. So that's what we'll be talking about now on 10B. Do we have any items from citizens present?
No request to speak, Vice Mayor.
Items from council members? Alex, I believe you said you wanted to.
Yes, sir. I just want to share. I'm not a light rail fan just because of the cost per mile. And so what you don't see from these meetings is I've taken the opportunity behind the scenes to try and punch holes all the way through this where I could, ask tough questions. If I had my rathers, I'd rather see a BRT hybrid type system that's less expensive to do. But you've heard some of the logic and reasoning about ridership and the years. And I've truly not been an advocate of this for many years. Where I've come to the decision, and I think we're talking about as far as funding this current section, is I think it would also be idiotic to say, you know what, just because I have some philosophical disagreements and concerns, let's go ahead and turn the money back to the region and let them take it and spend it over in the West Valley. It's not how I would do things, but I think thinking back to old Grandma Finter, what she said, you don't want to cut your nose off to spite your face, and I think it'd be stupid to turn away the money. So hopefully we can make the best of the situation, and that's my opinions along those lines as far as the light rail and the funding of this portion of it.
Yeah. Scott? Well, Alec, I just don't think we should turn down the option. All we're talking about is a study to determine whether moving it out to Gilbert Road is a better alternative, and from what we've heard so far, with the ridership and what's a better terminus and where we can do a park and ride, Gilbert Road seems natural for that, whereas the existing terminus, or where it will be around downtown, doesn't make as much sense. It's also a natural decision point. If we decide at some point to extend it to Gilbert Road, it's a natural decision point. Do we continue on? Do we head south toward the freeway, or do we make that the terminus and we just utilize a bus rapid transit? But it also doesn't lock us into anything. We could decide that now that we've gone through downtown, that's all the investment we care to make. From a regional perspective, it makes more sense, and even from a budget perspective, perhaps more sense from the other side, from the east side of downtown, to move to bus rapid transit and get all the way over to the gateway area. So it just makes a lot of sense to, and that's why I've seconded this motion, to go ahead and recommend we do our due diligence in extending to Gilbert Road.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Kavanaugh and a second by Councilmember Summers. And what we're actually talking on now is we've already talked about the alignment down Main Street. There's funding to Mesa Drive, and that's decided upon now. We're talking about getting the process started for the full-blown evaluation and study to go out to Gilbert. And so there's no more discussion. Alex?
Well, you know, I'm reading this a little different. It says recommend extending light rail transit on Main Street from Sycamore to Gilbert. It's a little unclear. My comments are about the funding from Sycamore to Mesa Drive. And if you're saying this is just a vote on future studies from Mesa Drive to Gilbert, it seems a little confusing there. So can we get some clarity on that?
It's to get as far down the road as we can with the money we have, really. Go ahead, Mike.
Vice Mayor and Councilor, it's a little bit of a technicality, but the 10B recommendation, extending light rail on Main Street to Sycamore, on Main Street from Sycamore to Gilbert Road, it's really a recommendation of the alternatives analysis, not specifically the locally preferred alternative. The locally preferred alternative is from Sycamore to the vicinity of Mesa Drive, which will be moving forward to the Metro Board and to MAG. The 10B recommendation that's before you is really approving as an alternatives analysis our recommended technology light rail and alignment Main Street being for the whole segment out to Gilbert Road. So it's that full segment.
So, Mayor and Council, the choice you're making is what technology. When we say technology, it's not PCs or laptops or whatever. It's you're choosing light rail to be the mode of transportation to Gilbert Road. And then that will continue a ongoing studies to look at that going forward. There's no funding identified today, but it puts us in the track to move down that corridor to be looking at light rail as opposed to BRT or some other mode of transportation. That's what the direction from the council is giving us, is to move forward and looking at that study. There's no dollars committed to it. at this point, it's the study going forward. I think that is correct.
Because what we have, the preliminary study has told us that the ridership will increase dramatically from Gilbert Terminus. Plus, it gives us the tie-in going south down into Gilbert, where you could have a BRT coming up out of Gilbert. It, from a number standpoint, as far as ridership and successfulness of the light rail, Gilbert is the most logical place to get to, and that is, we would like to get to Gilbert, and the funding portion is yet to be determined.
That is correct.
Okay. Any other comments? All in favor, please vote. And we have 6 ayes with the mayor abstaining. Mayor, back to you for 3B.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, and thank you for getting us back on track, Mr. Brady. We'll now return to item 3B, and Mr. Brady or Ms. Spinner, do we have a report on the question that we had regarding timing of this issue?
Yes, Mayor and Council. In terms of, there's really two issues. First, when do we need to notify the county assessor? And second, what does the statute say in terms of requirements of the timing of the action? In terms of notifying the county assessor, we've talked to the city staff that does this on a regular basis, and he assures us that the county assessor needs the information no later than mid-June. So if the council were to take action June 1st, we would be fine in terms of notifying the county assessor. The statute, however, imposes some limitation. It says that the council must act within 10 days of the public hearing. So we have two choices. One is to call a special council meeting for next Thursday, which would be May 28th. That would be the 10th day. And then council could take action on, not this Thursday, week from Thursday, I'm sorry. So on May 28th, a special council meeting, and council can take action at that time. Option two is for the council to go back to item 3A, reopen the public hearing, continue the public hearing until June 1st, and then on June 1st, do both the public hearing and the action on the resolution.
Okay. Well, we have a motion on, the question is, which is the chicken and which the egg? We have a motion on the table to continue.
Which we could.
3B. Which we could.
3B would.
We also have a second on that. So should I reopen the public hearing before? Let's take that vote first and see if that passes, and then we can go back and reopen the public hearing.
But just, Mayor, just quickly, you can still, we could do the special meeting without and not needing to open the public hearing.
Correct.
Okay. Well, let's just do that then.
But
because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you vote to continue this to June 1st, you must reopen the
right.
The public hearing.
Unless you do it for
so is would you want to? Well, you didn't state a date for continuation. Do you want to?
No, but if we take no action today, then we can.
Right, we have to have some action today.
We probably need to at least know by to give notice to right to at least define a date.
If you just tell us you would prefer to delay item 3B. We will just schedule a special council meeting for May 28th because that will be the last day that the council will be able to take action on the resolution.
Then I would make that my motion that we delay item 3B.
To May 28th.
To okay, May, we have a motion. Do you want me to say May 28th?
Then to May 28th. Have a second on the first one. Are you still?
I did. I just had a question. If you were to delay it to June 1st, we would just have another 3A on June 1st?
Yes, you would have to go back.
So we could have another public hearing on if we so choose.
Yeah. We just have to have another public hearing.
Right.
And I get to bang the gavel one more time, which is really a lot of fun, actually.
So is that because we're going to spend some more time investigating more things, should we allow the public to come back and have another say it didn't take that long? Or just delay the decision?
Well, the public has an opportunity, and I hope they avail themselves of the opportunity to come on May 28th in the morning and the reason I think May 28th is reasonable, one, there is opportunity for public input, and secondly, it also helps us get, if it is the decision of this council to approve the increase, then we can we can get it to the assessor as quickly as possible. Okay. So I think it's reasonable that May 28th would
so be. So he's May 28th, are you going to,
sure.
You're okay with a second on that, Councilmember Richens?
I just think reopening the public hearing gives us the maximum amount of flexibility.
Yeah.
there's no reason to tie us our hands into 10 days when we don't have to.
Yeah.
I would rather open the public, reopen it all, and if we want to do May 20th, I'd rather have it in a regular scheduled council meeting in the evening when people have the time to come and have their say on the issue, so I'm not going to support the motion.
Well, let's
Mayor.
Take a vote on
that. I'd say we have a motion and a second.
Yeah,
unless you want
second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. The motion is to continue to May 28th.
Do I have to vote for my motion? Because I agree with what Councilmember Richens said.
Well, you can
okay,
withdraw your second.
I'm withdrawing
okay,
the second.
Okay, Councilmember Higgins withdrawn her second. Do we have a second now to Councilmember Summers' motion on May 28th? Okay. Would you like to restate
I'll make
your motion
a
to June 1st?
Motion for June 1st. We extend
okay, restate it to June 1st.
I'll second that.
And we'll have to reopen have to have another public hearing. Okay, we have a motion and a second. A motion by Councilmember Summers, second by Councilmember Higgins. Yes, ma'am.
Mayor, if I might just restate the motion to make sure.
Please do.
We have it. The motion is to reopen the public hearing, item 3A, and to continue both the public hearing and the action on the resolution to June 1st.
Councilmember Summers, thank
you. Isn't that what I said?
Very close.
She's
almost word for word.
She had a comma in a different location.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
You
that
concur.
Is my motion.
You concur with that.
That is my motion.
Okay. We have everyone understand the motion, or we need to repeat it again. Okay. Please vote. Motion is 7-0 in the affirmative. The motion passes. Ms. Crocker, are there any requests to speak from the public?
No requests, Mayor.
No adjournment.
We have a motion to adjourn from the Vice Mayor, a second by Councilmember Summers. Before we adjourn, I really want to thank those who came tonight. I truly do appreciate you coming and taking the time to come down here and speak. I really do appreciate
Mayor.
That. Thank you very much.
Mayor, just before, to remind them to come back on June 1st if they want to speak again?
Well, on another issue, I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah,
okay, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Okay.